is senior NHL writer for The Athletic, Mr. Sean Gentile. OSG, how are you, buddy?
Why did you make it sound like a couple minutes ago like I'd actually know about Finnish draft prospects and stuff?
I don't know. I was just hoping that you would.
I don't appreciate you setting me up like that. I don't know any of those guys.
All right.
Hello.
It's good to talk to you. Do you at least know, and can you give people the more educated than I can dossier on Kashawn Aitchison, who feels like a dude who profiles just as Brooks Orpik 2.0, which would make him a pretty popular guy in this city before he would slow down physically, I think, if they drafted him.
Yeah, one of our draft guys, I don't know if it was Prahnman or Wheeler, one of them said that he had like standout competitiveness and grind and all that stuff, which is whatever. A lot of times that's used to mask complaints about skill level, I think. When you talk about grind and
he's very gritty.
Whatever.
He's got the will to win on defense. When you put him on the left side of that second pairing, the man displays the will to win.
Anytime I hear that, I'm like, can he actually skate, though?
Hawk Harrelson parachutes in to tell you from the White Sox game that this man just knows winning.
Aitchison can skate. That's the good thing. Is like, it sounds like even though he is a tough guy, you know, gritty competitor, blah, 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 he's also got some skill, and he's got a lot of physical ability. And he's definitely the player who, even before the Rangers sent pick number 12 over to them a couple of days ago, Aitchison's the guy that was that they're most closely linked with. So we'll see. But yeah, it sounds like he's a completely viable pick to make in that spot for sure.
How much desire do you sense there is from the people you talk to on Dubas's part to use one of those two first rounders to actually move up and go get a more premium player?
I think it's there for sure. And it's an interesting spot for them to be in too, because 11 and 12 are like just below the first apron or the first tier of prospect, right? Like it would be better if they were in the ninth pick for sure. Because if you're in nine, you know that you can get one of the premium forwards, whether it's like Jake O'Brien or Porter Martone or these players, you know, who they're certainly interested in and would certainly make a lot more sense. And if you're in nine, you're kind of guaranteed to get one of them. When you're a little bit farther down, you're 11, you're 12, you got to hope that someone makes kind of an off the board decision. And then, you know, and obviously all it takes is one. We've seen plenty of times, including recently, where in the top 10 NHL teams get goofy. And then, you know, you see someone who you really like maybe slide down. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that those guys are there at 11 or 12. And it wouldn't take them moving all that far up either to have their pick of at least one of them. So yeah, it's an interesting spot to be in. I will say though, in the last hour or so, Montreal made a trade.
And then signed a guy to a big extension, did they not? Yeah.
Signed him to a big extension for sure. But the end result there is now the New York Islanders have pick 15 and 16, which was their return in that deal. New York is definitely they have the number one pick. Mm-hmm. They're super interested in trading up too, because one of the top five or six forwards in the draft, a guy who at one point was kind of the consensus number one overall pick, that's before sort of a mediocre year at BC, his name's James Hagans. He's a Long Islander, like he's a local dude. So the thought is that the Islanders, as part of that return, are now going to try to package and move their way back up pretty solid in the top 10 so they can take Hagans. So now there's two teams that are pretty clearly trying to move up if the situation dictates it.
Just right this second, obviously asking you to predict the future, and so no stakes if it doesn't go this way. Would you say the Penguins' first pick will be made at 11 or sooner than that in this draft?
I'll say they make the pick at 11. And then try to probably use the other first round pick to acquire an actual NHL player. If I had to guess, that's what it would be. But that they make one of those 11 and 12 picks, that they don't actually make two first round picks and use one of them to actually go and get, you know, a pre-existing, right, somewhat established, you know, young, you know, prospect that's 21, 22, 23.
Sean Gentile, senior NHL writer at The Athletic, is joining us right now. NHL draft is tonight. Penguins shock of shocks, actually have not one but two first-round picks for Kyle Dubas to figure out what to do with. Given his draft history, does he have like a type, Dubas, as far as like the kind of player he likes to pick in the first round? Because we know that anything really back half of the first round becomes an automatic crapshoot, and then beyond, it's a total crapshoot. But with any pick in the first round, does he like a certain kind of player? Has he shown a certain tendency, Sean?
There was a stretch with the Leafs a few years ago where he was all in on undersized, smart, skillsy guys who maybe in different circumstances would have dropped because they were 5'10" instead of 6'1". That was his kind of go-to. Smart guys, skilled guys, not necessarily the biggest guys. And he was all in on those for a stretch with Toronto. It seems like he's moved away from that flat out. Like all the players that we've seen them linked to realistically, when you're talking about Porter Martone and Kayshon Acheson and the other defenseman, Jackson Green or whatever his name is. I just forgot.
Jackson Brown running on empty. Who
it's
cares?
It's not Jackson. I keep wanting to say Jackson Brown. That's not it. He's not running on empty. Those dudes are big. They're tall. They're nasty. They're physical. It seems like he's like pivoted off, the quote unquote Dubas type, which is again, short, skilled, maybe with some connection to Sault Ste. Marie or whatever. It seems like he's drawn from a little bit more of a diverse group right now. Porter Martone is the forward who they've been most closely linked to. And he's a big, nasty, skilled winger who could go anywhere from 4 to 9, let's say. So again, like we talked about before, it doesn't seem like going from 11 to 9 is that big of a jump, but in this case it is.
Is it safe to say then that the image that Kyle Dubas is trying to rebuild these Penguins in is more like Florida, tough, physical, nasty, physically larger players, basically, versus what the Penguins have kind of become, which is, I think your colleague Josh Yowie wrote, small and relatively easy to play against these last couple years?
I'd say so. I mean, like, Dubas is who he is, though. He's certainly not a guy who's going to just sell out and take someone because they're 6'5", and then let the chips fall where
they're. So he's not a Brian Burke. I'm looking for truculence in my players.
Exactly. He's not just going to take, the tallest player available who's got a half decent blend of, goals and penalty minutes. That's not how he operates. That's not the kind of stuff that he values. I think above all else, like he's looking for skill and he's looking for hockey ability. But now it's like the tiebreaker instead of before, when it was like, value and skill and brains, like all things being equal, he would absolutely rather have a guy who's taller and a little bit nastier and plays with more of an edge for sure.
Since you just mentioned that his previous quote type was the smaller but very skilled guys, what are the chances that the Penguins, with something other than their first round pick, might try to go after LJ Mooney, who would be a first rounder if he was 6 feet tall and not 5'8"?
If this were like 2 years ago, I would say you could pencil in LJ Mooney as like a second round draft pick, because that is the exact sort of guy that Dubas, just to a pretty decent amount of criticism, especially down the stretch there in Toronto, that's the exact kind of guy that he would target, is a player who, what do we hear about LJ Mooney? If he were 6 feet tall or 6 foot one,
he's a top 10 pick, maybe. He's a
top 10 pick.
Yep. Trocheck saying things like he's way more skilled and talented than me, all that stuff.
Right. So in some regards, a guy like LJ Mooney is an undervalued asset. And years ago, we're saying 2020, 2021 is when it peaked for Kyle in Toronto with that. The obsession with finding undervalued assets and market inefficiencies and whatever, it kind of coalesced around drafting shorter players. And basically it didn't work. There was a draft class in Toronto that had that, yes, there's some crummy luck involved, and it was a weird draft class because they were taking players who maybe they hadn't seen all that much because of the pandemic, but they went all in on short players and kind of came up snake eyes on it. So he's pivoted off of that a little bit, but I think the mindset remains the same. It's like trying to find undervalued assets and market inefficiencies and whatever else. And if the end result is that a dude like LJ Mooney signs to the third round or whatever, Pittsburgh has all these second, third round picks. I would be maybe not shocked if they didn't take him, but I think he absolutely would be a big time consideration because he fits some version of the kind of player that Dubas has looked for in the past.
Last one, Sean, and it has nothing to do with the draft. An 84 game schedule starting in 2026-27. My question is very simple. Who the F asked for this? The last thing I want is more NHL regular season games. Go the other direction. Give me like 66 in honor of Lemieux. I don't need this. I don't need two more NHL regular season games. And I know you agree with me.
The only good part about that is that they're coming at the cost of preseason games. What's worse than like January hockey? It's September hockey. So they're taking away a couple of those and giving it back. Yeah, I was looking at some of the notes on the CBA, which is, you know, all but a done deal at this point. That's as of today. It's a lot of.
Uh-oh. Whoa. What happened? Oh, no. So,
this Cabali is like something I've never seen before.
Hold on. Gentile just got kicked off the air by Cabali? I know I was taking that interview a little long, but it was interesting and Sean had good intel. What the hell just happened?
This is something I've never seen before.
Do you know how much Gentile is going to be blowing up my phone just making fun of me because of this when he figures out what happened?
Wait, Gentile back on here, it looks like.
All right, hold on. Now I'm very curious here.